Let us sing and dance.
We will love God with all our hearts.
Let us weep and pray.
We will love God with all our souls.
Let us learn and grow.
We will love God with all our minds.
Let us work for good.
We will love God for all our strengths.
Let us open our lives to love.
Brothers and sisters, let us open our lives to love as we give ourselves to one another by sharing the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Now share it with one another.
When you have shared enough peace and given away enough love, you may be seated. Friends, on this sparkling, beautiful fall morning, I say to you, good morning. I welcome you to the First Congregational Church in Stockbridge. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and that means this. It means that we fling our doors wide open to welcome in visitor and member, saint and sinner, young and old. It means that we open our hearts to new friendships, to new experiences, and to love that grows. It means that we open our minds to new ideas, to long-held truths, and questions that have no answers, at least as of yet. It means that we open our hands so that we might grab yours, so that we might walk with you for a while and share the road. It means that we open our mouths to say how glad we are that you have come here this morning, whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey. I want to offer a special welcome this morning to Yi Jin Yuk, who played the piano so beautifully for us this morning and will send us out of worship as well. Thank you for being here this morning. There are a couple of things to share with you this morning. There are two small candles flickering on our communion table this morning. One is for Craig Hall, a longtime member of this church, husband to Lois and father to Josh, who passed away Thursday morning, peacefully surrounded by family at his side. The other is for Ed Maurer, husband of Allison Tracy, who passed away Wednesday evening. Our prayers go out to all who mourn, and now we take a moment of silence to honor both Ed and Craig and to pray for their peace and rest. Amen. I would now like to invite anyone who has an announcement to make to come forward to this microphone. As you do so, I'm going to go down and plug it in.
Hi, I'm Gene Kalish, and I want to make you aware that on November 23rd at the Zion Lutheran Church in Pittsfield, the Berkshire Concert Choir will be doing a concert of Baroque music, two complete Bach cantatas, Vivaldi's Gloria, actually also a brand new work written by a high school senior. It will be accompanied by a full orchestra. I think it will be a great concert. And it's one of the few that's before the vacations. So you're all invited. There's a post. This poster is posted out in the Jonathan Edwards room.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Bradford, and on behalf of the trustees, I'd like to thank everybody who was able to come and help with the fall cleanup day yesterday. If you all want to stand, you could be recognized. We got all the wood in here polished, all the grounds were cleaned of leaves and trimmings, etc. All the toys were cleaned in the nursery, and we went through a lot of old papers and found actually a lot of cool stuff. So I just want to, again, thank everybody who came, and would you like to stand up and be recognized? All those who, don't be shy, come on. Okay. I'm still Stephanie Bradford, and now I'm speaking on behalf of the Stewardship Committee. You should have all received your letter and pledge card by now. If you didn't, please let me know, and we'll make sure you get one. Consecration Sunday is next Sunday, November 16th, and I hope you will all be here and bring your pledge card to bring forward next Sunday. And if you're not able to be here, please try to mail your card so that it will arrive before next Sunday. Thank you.
Good morning. We're back. I'm Mary Jo Erickson Connor, and I have the privilege of playing with these fabulous folks up here, and literally playing. We have new tables, we have new foam, we have new members. We just need a few more. So we rehearse Mondays at 4:30, and please come and join us. If you have the time, you merely need to be able to count to four. We'll teach you the rest.
There is much to be thankful for within this community and many ways to get involved. I now ask our children who are here in the room to come forward and join me up here for just a moment. Come on up. Have a seat. So how is everyone here this morning? That sounded less than enthusiastic, but should I trust it? Good. Oh, good. That's, I feel much better. Oh, goodness. What was that? Someone just sneezed. Well, what do we do when somebody sneezes? You say bless you. So should we turn around and I think it was Gene maybe who sneezed. So should we all, let's say to him together on three. Ready? Bless you. Jake may have sneezed too. He's been doing a little bit of that. So why do we say bless you when somebody sneezes? Because it's nice. You know what? It actually comes from a very specific moment in history. A very long time ago, back in the 400s, which is a very long time ago, there was a disease spreading through Europe. It was called the plague. It was affecting a lot of people. And you know what one of the first signs of the plague was? A sneeze. Rest assured, Gene does not have the plague. We're all good. But here's what happened. The Pope at the time decided that what would be nice to have happen would be that people would turn to that person and say, bless you. See, there were a couple of reasons for that. One, if you got the plague, people got kind of nervous about you because they didn't want to catch that disease from them. Think about a really, really, really bad cold. And so when somebody sneezed, what do you think people would do? They started saying, bless you. But most people got scared, and they walked away from that person because they didn't want to catch what that person had. And so the Pope said to them, no, you shouldn't walk away. What you should do is you should turn to that person and say, bless you. You know what else started happening? The Pope was pretty convinced that there might be people up in their bedrooms who would be sneezing in the middle of the night and feel alone and scared that they might be getting sick. And so you know what he had people do? He had people walk through the towns in groups, singing or shouting, God bless you, as a way of telling them that they're not alone, as a way of hopefully driving off that sickness, as a way of making them all feel better. So that phrase, bless you, is a way of being nice, but it actually is supposed to remind us of something. It's supposed to remind us that when somebody is sick, that we don't turn our backs on them. Instead, we turn toward them and we try to take care of them, even if we could only take care of them by saying words like God bless you. It also should always remind you that no matter what, whether you're getting a cold or not, that God's blessings are always with you and we care about you. So I think if the Pope had been around and knew you guys, I think he might have asked you to help spread that word by saying, God bless you. So all these people out here, I want you to turn around and look at them for a minute. Can you turn around and look at them for a minute? They're all smiling at you because you're so cute. And so what that means is we tend to think that they're all happy and that they're all good. But you know what I think? I think that out there somebody is sick. I think out there somebody is sad. I think out there someone is feeling lonely. So here's what I want you to do. Can you stand up with me? And I want you to do what the people did back then with the plague. I want you to look out at all these people. And on the count of three, I want us for you to say, God bless you to them. So that even if they are sick or sad or lonely or tired, they know that God's blessings are on them. You ready on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. God bless you. Let's try it again. One, two, three, God bless you. Do you think they heard that?
Yeah.
All right, let's then hold hands, and before you go off to Sunday school, let's say a prayer. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, say it out loud. If you don't, listen, and we will all teach it to you, and all of you join right in. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you can all go off to Sunday school now.
Good morning. Stu is definitely the public speaker in this duo, but I thought I would give a brief introduction. Brent asked us to speak to you as to why we chose this particular church to support with our time, interest, and specifically, our pledge. This church has become our home. It became our home long before I considered myself to be at home in Stockbridge. Looking at the building, it's obvious that its members throughout the years have also thought of it as their home. People ahead of us, and most of you here today, have pledged so that we can be a church with extensive, active programming and positive outreach. A lot of you have faithfully upped your pledge each year and are already doing as much as you can do financially. Yet you continue to be supportive in so many other ways. Our programs and outreach bring us together and enable us to accomplish things that would be impossible, or at least less powerful, if we were attempting them as individuals. And one last thing, it's important to me. Would I have been anxious to make this place my home if the windows were cracked, the lights were turned off, the carpeting was threadbare? Probably not. I like my home cared for. To paraphrase, now is the time to put your money where your heart is.
We all pledge our time, talent, and gifts when we become members of the church. Diane and I are church people. The church has been very good to us. When we came to Stockbridge over 20 years ago, we did not know a soul, so we joined the Congregational Church. Now we have many friends in this church and in Stockbridge. We have three children that we raised in the church, and I'm proud to say that they are all good citizens. Their children, our eight grandchildren, are being raised in the church, and so far, so good. Never know. Yes, the church has been good to us, but we have also been good for the church for providing our time and our talents. Diane has been a trustee, a deacon, and helps out the Service League with their Holly Fair event and is active in the Prayer Shawl Ministry. I am currently a deacon, have been a trustee, and am known to help out Santa at Christmas when he comes to town for the Holly Fair. We support the church with our gifts. I know it's not fashionable to talk about finances in church, but when our financial chairman, Chuck Gillette, says that 2015 will be a challenging year, and the chairman of the trustees, Stephanie Bradford, stands up here and says, we need to increase our pledge 15% for 2015, we need to listen. Yes, the church has lost some big givers this year. When we join the church, we pledge to give our time, our talent, and our gifts. As I've said, the church lost some big givers this year. We all need to step up to the plate now and help. Next Sunday is the day, as Stephanie said just a minute ago, when you bring your 2015 financial pledge to the church. Dig deeply. We know as church people, you will. Nothing is as consistent as change in this world. Speaking of change, Diane and I will be leaving Stockbridge and the church and moving to Exeter, New Hampshire next week. We are confident we leave the church in good hands, your hands. Diane and I will miss you all. You have a great thing going here with a growing church. The future is bright. Make sure you all have an active part in that future. Thank you.
Our reading tells the story of the calling of Abraham and Sarah. Hear these words from the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing.
Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, open our hearts that we may feel your presence. Open our minds that we may dream in new ways. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Throughout our stewardship campaign over the last number of weeks, those words that Amy just read to you have been read each and every week from this pulpit. They have been read each and every week from this pulpit that they might seep their way into your hearts, that they might become part of the way through which you view this world, that they might become companions to you. Through those words, we have talked about how we are a people waiting for God's call upon our lives. Get up and go, God said to Abraham. What is God saying to you? We have talked about how we are people on a journey. Go, God says, you may not know exactly where you're going, but go and journey. And so finally, today we come to the end of this great small reading. And remember that we are a people of blessing. There are many words in our church life that we use over and over and over again, and blessing is one of those. It's something that we do multiple times every time we gather here in worship together. It's something we do in the context of our lives beyond these walls as well. Blessing. Sometimes with words like that, we use it so often, we talk right past it, we never stop to think about what it really means and what it's really calling for in our lives. If you pay attention in worship today, we will sing about blessing three times. We have already blessed Gene and his amazing sneeze. We will take the moment to bless the gifts that are brought to this table, and we always, before we eat of them, always bless the food that is on this table. Today we're going to bless those who have volunteered to be visitors for this church, for those in need. And the last thing I do every week to make sure it's fresh on your minds is I lift up my hands and I offer you a blessing. We are a people of blessing. And that blessing goes all the way back to Genesis. It goes all the way back to this reading that Amy once again did for us today. This ancient blessing to Abram, to Sarai, and to all of us who would follow in their footsteps. If the Hebrew Scriptures has an obsession, it actually is with this concept of blessing. The word blessing appears more than 400 times in Hebrew Scripture, from Genesis to Malachi. And if you look back at what that word means in its various usages in the Old Testament, you're going to find a ton of different things. Its Hebrew root means everything from knee, as in get down on your knees and give thanks to God. It means pool or pond, as in the source of life in the midst of desert through which we all find ourselves wandering. And it also means an utterance of thanksgiving, as Joab did in 2 Samuel, and he did it with his face pressed down to the ground and his heart, he said, lifted up to God. The benefits for blessing in Hebrew scripture, oh, they range from well-being to security, from land to children, prosperity and prominence. All of these uses, all of these different meanings have prompted scholars to look and see what thread holds them all together. And Kent Richards, professor of Hebrew scripture at the Iliff School of Theology in Denver, says this. He says, if you look at all those different meanings and all those different outcomes, the one thing that we should always remember, the thing that our heart should always turn to whenever we hear the word blessing, is the idea of relationship. To bless is to bring into relationship with. It is to offer us the security that we need to form a community like this one. It is to find the blessings of land through which we can feed a community like this one, the children to continue it, the prosperity of peace and joy, and yes, the blessing of prominence and visibility, an important blessing that we will get to in a moment. Because after all, relationships are all of those things. They are life-giving and nurturing. They are worthy of praise and thanksgiving. When Jesus was asked what was most important in the entire world, you remember his answer. We know them as the two great commandments, telling us that what is important above all else in this world is that we shall love our God with our whole hearts, and that we shall love each other as ourselves. Blessings, you see, take us beyond ourselves as separate individual people, just like Stu talked about. And instead, blessings take us into connection from which fullness and feeding, wholeness and healing, they inevitably come. Walter Brueggemann reminds us that in this particular blessing of Abram and Sarah, what he calls the turning point of not just Genesis and Hebrew scripture, but the turning point of life as we know it, that we cannot fully understand that blessing unless we understand how relational it is, how we understand the context in which it was given. This is the launching of a whole new way of life, Brueggemann says, a way out of dead-end living toward a future without end. In the big picture, if we look at how this is a turning point in Genesis, this is the moment that interrupts all of the dreadful stories that have gone before. Stories of forbidden fruit, stories of murder, towers, sulfur raining from the sky, and floods covering the earth with water, and instead replaces all of those human foibles with God's blessing of family, land, and future. In the smaller picture, what Abram and Sarai would have been thinking about was this blessing that came to their particular family. Oh, they were a family just like you and I, facing all of the challenges of life and trying to figure out what it means. And in the case of Abram and Sarai, that included their inability to conceive a child. They had tried for years, and they could not do it on their own. The barrenness of their family, not because of any of their fault or sin, but a barrenness which pointed to endings and finality, to their tree of life ending, gives way to blessings. Blessings that point to new beginnings and unfolding journeys. It is this blessing that shapes all of our walk of faith. As Paul would later write to the church in Rome, this moment, this one right here, is the one where God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not yet exist. Blessing, I hope you remember, should always first and foremost be looked at in the context of relationship. And yet, if you listened all the way to the end of what Amy said, this story and these blessings, they point beyond Abram and Sarai and to the promises to them. It says that through all of this, the reason they are being blessed is that they will be a blessing to others. Right and real, true and deep relationship always reaches out beyond itself to include, to serve, and to model what life might be. True relationship, holy relationship, sacred relationship always expands outward, always bringing new people in, bringing life to barrenness, future to dead ends, transcending temptation, sin, and the floods of human existence, breaking down isolation and replacing it with connection. Always and forever in expanding circles. You see, blessings beget blessings. Relationship begets relationship. In this coming week, this church is asking you to do something holy. Not a business decision, not a financial plan, not a checkbook kind of thing, but something holy. We want you to take that pledge card that Stephanie mailed to you. We want you to take it out, and we don't want you to fill it in quite yet. We want you to put it somewhere that you will see it. We want you to pray about it. We want you to think about it. And this year, we need you to take a leap of faith, because we are facing a challenge to sustain the ministries of this place. But we want you to take that leap of faith grounded in this story of blessing. We are absurdly blessed here. Amen? Amen. This is a place of bounty and grace. People fill our pews. If you were here last week, you would have heard music that stirred your soul. We are blessed here. Amen? We are growing. We are caring. To be part of this church community is to be brought into the life of a family. Each and every week we are blessed with our joys and concerns, where people around this room lift up the private and hidden, the joyful and difficult parts of their lives, and they share them with us. That is a blessing. But blessings beget blessings. Relationships begets relationships. As you go about that holy work of thinking about your pledge this week, there are a couple of memories that I hope you hold in your mind over the last month. Some of them were planned, some of them not so much. I have talked with so many of you about how meaningful last week's worship was, about how the glory of music, the meaning of memory, and the food around this table are going to be like those pools of water in the desert that will sustain us in times to come. But you know what? Despite the fact that this place was full, there were nearly 24 visitors here last week. And I have heard from scores of them. Some who came here because they knew we were doing the Requiem and loved music and couldn't believe how that music was transformed into worship here. There were others who were coming because they knew it was All Saints Sunday and they just needed to be with somebody else, anybody else. And they were uplifted by the flickering candles and the naming of names and the knowledge that they were not alone. And still others were on vacation here, and they saw this steeple, and they thought this looked like a beautiful place, and they had no idea what they were going to find when they came in here. Blessings beget blessings. To be a blessing means to be a place where someone like Reverend Dr. Brian Ellis could come in here and sit and can lift up a prayer of thanksgiving that we embrace all people. A man whose life had been a difficult journey, one through pain and rejection, lifted up the blessings of this place in what turned out to be the final worship service of his life. He was blessed. We were blessed. I can tell you this. You don't know. You can't know how many people come into this place all the time, searching for hope or healing, searching for a community to walk with. They come and they sit quietly in their pews and they just accept the blessings you lavish upon them. They come here seeking to be nourished and fed, and sometimes they disappear back to their lives. But some of you know this to be true because I've heard your stories, and I know that many of you in this room came just like that. came here in a tough time of your life, came here when you needed to be ministered to, and now you are an active part of this place that are bestowing blessings on other people. What I need you to remember as you go about your holy work of discerning your pledge this week is that yes, because of people passing from this mortal life, because of people moving from this place, we face a significant challenge here. But that challenge, in the end, is not really about us. That all we do here and all the blessings we experience here is not just about us. It brings us beauty and truth and joy and healing and tears from now and then, and that is good. But it is not just about us. Because you see, blessings beget blessings. Relationships beget relationships. All we do here, all we sing, all we pray, all of the beauty we find, it must also be about blessing others, about welcoming people into this place that they might walk with us, that they might find healing through us, and that they too might become a blessing, not just in this room, to this whole world. And if I know anything, this world right now needs all of the blessings we can give. So this week, as you go about the holy work of discernment, think not just about the programs and blessings you need. Think about the programming and blessing that Berkshire County needs, that this world needs. As you go about praying and thinking about the number you are going to write on that card, give so that we can sustain these ministries, so that we might continue to be blessed and to offer a blessing. Whatever that number ends up being, pray about it. Give it to God and know that whatever you can contribute to this church is a blessing, not just to us. Although it is a blessing to the whole world. It's holy work, and this week you need to get to it. Amen.
Please be seated. And so we come to the time in our worship where we celebrate relationship, our relationship to God and our relationship to one another. Here in this church, we lift up our joys and concerns that we do not need to bear them alone. We lift them up to share them with each other that we might pray for them here in this holy moment and in all the holy moments yet to come. Friends, what are your joys? What are your concerns this week? Tristan. So we lift up joy for the two men released from North Korea and are back home in Washington. Other joys and concerns this morning.
I pray for Allison Tracy and her loss of her husband's death, and also for Ed's children and their relationship.
We lift up Allison Tracy as she mourns the loss of Ed and all of Ed's family and children. Mary, we give thanks for you and for being part of this community. We give thanks for Rudy and for his life and the 2 extra years that the two of you got to spend. And we are glad you would call no other place home. We are glad you are here. Martha. We lift up your Uncle Paul, who is in the process of dying, and wish him peace and wholeness and wish the families blessing and grace. We lift up the Hall family this morning. We lift up Josh here in the room with us and your whole extended family and all who mourn Craig. We also lift up Dorothea this morning, who is in dire health as well. We wish prayer and blessings upon the family as they try to grapple with both of those. We give thanks for Barbara Bracknell back where she should be on Church Street. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name. Reif Snyder? You all know who this is, so we pray for that family. I do not know that family, but we lift up the family and their loss. I made an assumption, Diane and Stu, we do give thanks for you here in presence. I made the assumption that when you said you're moving after next week, that you would be here next week. We hope that you will, because we would like to do something official to send you off in a fun and blessed way. Please correct that assumption of mine if that's not true, and we'll do something sooner. But thank you to both of you for all that you have done for this place. Words cannot say how much we will miss you, but we wish you the best. Let us let all of those joys and all those concerns settle into our hearts.
I don't know how articulate I'll be, but I'd like to pray for the young and confused people who cannot see their way to the future, who cannot see their way to how to make their lives better, who are confused and mentally anguished. I want to pray for them.
We add that prayer for the young, that they might see a way to a healthy future, along with all the other prayers. Let them settle onto your hearts and onto your mind. Loving God, source of all of our blessings, gift of our life, author of relationship. We lift all these things to you, trusting them into your care. God, we give you thanks for this place and for all who nurtured and cared for it over the weekend, that it might be sustained for 200 more years. God, we give you thanks as we look forward to Veterans Day for all those who have left the safety and security of their home and family to help protect the safety and security of all of our homes and all of our families. God, this week, we lift up the Hall family. We lift up the Maurer family. We lift up all the families who mourn. Because, God, we know that in your arms they will find peace. We know that your love will pour down in waterfalls of tenderness. God, you are the source of all we are. We simply give these prayers and all the prayers left in our hearts and all the prayers on the tips of our tongue, we give those and our entire lives, God, we give to you, trusting that you will always walk by our side, that you will always hold our hand. You will lead us into relationship, and we will never be alone. For that and so much more, God, we offer you our thanks. Amen and amen. This church cares greatly for one another. We're in the process of launching a new ministry team that will help extend that care farther and wider. It is a visitation team. And they have begun to meet and plan how they might come out and visit those in need. I would ask all those who are part of that team to come on and join us up here by this front table. Come on up here. Come on up and turn and face your sisters and brothers. In addition to this group is Joanne Levitt, who could not be with us here today. But we're going to do what we've done before, and that is to bless these people, that they might be a blessing to all others. And so I would ask you to raise one or both of your hands in the ancient sign of a Christian blessing and imagine your love pouring out upon them as we bless them to go about their work. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we ask you to bless. We ask you to bless Carrie and Martha, Joyce and Carl, and Joanne. Bless them with patience and compassion, with a gift of healing and love. God, we ask you to grace them and to bless them, that they might be a blessing to every home they go to and every person they meet. God, bless them that through them people might find wholeness, healing, health, and most importantly, love. We ask all this in the name of the one we follow. And let us say together, amen. You may be seated. We are blessed in so many ways. Each and every week, we take the time to give back from which we have been blessed. to take the things that God has given you and decide how much you need to keep for yourself and how much you can afford to give back to ministries of grace and healing, of hope and wellness. This morning's offering will once again be given and received. God, we give these gifts back to you. We offer them up freely and in gratitude, and we ask you to bless them. For we know this, that with your blessing, anything is possible. With your blessing comes flourishing. With your blessing, there is life out of barrenness. God, bless these gifts and each of us, that we may be full of you. And let us all say, Amen. Sisters and brothers, our time of worship here of God in this room is drawing to a close, that we might leave this room and worship God in new ways with our lives. Before we go, a couple of quick announcements and invitations. Please enjoy the beautiful postlude. And when that is done, come through those doors where you will find people waiting to be in relationship and food just waiting to be gobbled up. Friends, let us close our worship singing. What you will notice if you open your bulletin is it is indeed hymn number 76. But it is not hymn number 76 in your hymnal. It is hymn number 76 in another hymnal. And so we have printed the words on that piece of paper, that extra insert that you didn't know what to do with beforehand. You now know what to do with it. It is our closing hymn. Sing about God's blessings. Brothers and sisters, may the blessings of God settle upon your hearts that you might do justice. May the blessings of Jesus settle upon your hearts that you might love kindness. And may the blessings of the Holy Spirit settle upon your hearts that you might walk humbly with your God. And let us say together, Amen.